This morning's public reading from God's Word comes from 1 Samuel chapter 5 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 5. In our last reading, we ended chapter 4 on a very, very bad note. God's people go out to battle, and because of a prophecy given in chapter 2 to young Samuel, God was going to judge the house of Eli and to judge his people for the sins that they were now committing at the time. And in that judgment, Eli's two sons would die, which they did. Unfortunately, in the battle, the Ark of the Covenant was taken. Just like people today wearing a cross or having a statue in the front yard, somehow thinking that the Ark of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, was some type of talisman, some type of rabbit's foot or a lucky charm. And that gets stolen by the Philistines and then brought back to their cities. And when Eli hears the news, he falls back, breaks his neck, and he dies. And then Eli's daughter-in-law, or one of his daughter-in-laws, is in labor. And she gives birth to a child. And upon hearing all of this calamity, comes time to name the child. And she breathes out the name Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed. And in many churches today, you can chisel those same words above the lintel of the front door. God's glory has departed. Well, now we come to chapter 5. And here we see how God can take care of himself. How God can take care of his own honor, his own person, and his own worship. And the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. You got the five cities of the Philistines, and here's one of the five. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Now Dagon was an idol, and it was half fish from the waist to the tail, and from the waist up it was a man. Half man, half fish. And when they of Ashdod rose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord, and they took Dagon and set him in his place again. Now, isn't that strange? Here's a god that falls, and the poor chap can't get back up on his pedestal or wherever he was placed on. He needed human assistance to be put back from whence he fell. So much for being a god. And when they rose early on the morning, verse 4, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. So the head's gone, and the two hands are gone. And I've seen pictures of Dagon. He's basically, you know, resting somewhere, and his hands are in some type of, you know, lifted up type of a position. So when he fell, the hands easily broke, the head came off, and all that's left is the stump. Poor God. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon, nor any that came into Dagon, tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. So the people saw this as a really bad omen, and no one was going to go inside the temple. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with hemorrhoids, even Ashdod and the coasts thereof. So they got a bad case of hemorrhoids. And there was no preparation H available at the time. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God." So notice, apparently they came to the conclusion that Dagon must be one or two notches below this God of Israel. So what did they do? Well, they're going to do a Federal Express. They sent, therefore, and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them, and said, What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, Let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. So now it's going to go to another one of the cities. And they carried the ark of God of Israel upon thither. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city, what a great destruction, and he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had hemorrhoids in their secret parts. Therefore, they also are going to send this parcel post. They sent the ark of God to Ekron, the third of the five cities. And it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, They have brought the ark of the God of Israel to us to slay us and our people. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines. So there was a council, and said, Send away the ark of the God of Israel, and let it go again to his own people, that it slay us not, and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with the hemorrhoids, and cried of the city went up to heaven. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. I think today's title here is The Plague of Hemorrhoids. It's in the Bible, so don't get so touchy-feely. Okay, we're not secret-sensitive here. They got a bad case of hemorrhoids. And again, no preparation H was available. No creams, no salves. Well, what do we see here? We see rampant idolatry, even in the midst of judgment. Even in the midst of being judged, men will hang on with all their might to their false religion. And we're going to see that exemplify when we get into chapter 6. How they decorate and how they set things up and what they put on the ark. And then they're going to let it wander off all by itself with no assistance. And they're going to hope to God that it eventually meanders itself back to the people of God. Well, so the Philistines took the ark, verse 1, and brought it up from Ebenezer, where the Israelites lost, unto the city of Ashdod. Okay, so notice, 3 out of the 5 cities are mentioned here by name: Ashdod, Gath, and Ekron. Now there were 2 other cities. We have the 5 cities of the Philistines, as it's traditionally referred to. So they bring this trophy. To them, the Ark of the Covenant was a trophy. It was something that they earned because they defeated God's people, and so this is a spoil of war. And so what are we going to do? How are we going to show off that our army and the gods that we worshiped, our little tribal territorial god, was bigger and meaner and badder than the God of the Jews? See, as far as the pagans were concerned, as we're learning about this idea of altar and grove and image and things of that nature, bear in mind that in the ancient world, many people did not necessarily believe in one overruling God. Okay? They believed in a myriad of gods. Gods who were over certain elements and power of nature and of the world around them. And then you have those who had what was called a territorial or a tribal god. Dagon, in this instance, was the god more favored by the Philistines at the time. You could call it, like in the Roman Catholicism, they have what's called a patron saint, like Saint Christopher. He's the one who watches over travelers. Okay, Saint Nicholas is the patriot saint of not only sailors, but pawn shops. He watches over that particular people in their respective occupation. So according to the Philistines, he was a patriot saint amongst the Philistines. So they take this trophy of theirs and they bring it to the first city. And to show off, notice, in Deuteronomy 16, the current series that we're in, the last 2 verses of Deuteronomy 16, you may want to look that verse up for those of you that may be listening right now. In Deuteronomy 16, We're told, God tells the Israelites in Deuteronomy 16, the last two verses, closing out that chapter, do not put a grove or a clump of trees near my altar. And don't you dare put an altar, by implication, don't you dare put an idol near my altar, because I hate that. What are they doing here? They're taking the Ark of the Covenant, which is a representation of God himself, putting it right next door to Dagon. They were violating the principle found in Deuteronomy 16. And so what does God do? Well, he knocks the statue down. So when he knocks it down the first time, apparently nothing of any damage happened to Dagon. So they put him back on his pedestal. Come back the next day. But this time, all that's left is the stump. Hands and the head of the statue broken. And they panic. Because now they're saying, there's something wrong here. We thought Dagon gave us the victory. We're the ones that brought this trophy to our city, but now the God of the Israelites seemed to be striking back. To the point in verses 5, they didn't want to go back in that temple. Then in verses 5, but the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them, and smote them with emroids, even Ashdod, and the coast thereof. So this judgment wasn't limited just to the city proper. It also probably would include the city and its surrounding suburbs. Okay? Thus the population. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the Ark of God of Israel shall not abide with us. We got to get rid of this thing. So they send it down the highway to Gath. And the same thing happens here. Now, we're not told about any idol falling over. But the people of Gath more than likely put it in some temple. Right? Just like the Ashdodites did. And probably maybe something similar like that happened. Whatever idol was in there was found the next day, toppled over. They come down with a very great destruction. Verse 9. God smote the men of the city, both small and great. They had emroids, and notice the Bible doesn't pussyfoot in their secret parts. So they broke out with some type of blistering sores or hemorrhoids, you know, in their secret locations. And it was aggravating, it was painful, it was quite discomforting. And so what do? They get rid of it. And they sent it to Ekron. So notice, everyone's trying to get rid of God. Because the Ark of the Covenant represents him. It represents the very being and the very nature of the God of Scripture. So they're getting rid of him. Just pass him down. Get rid of him. Until finally, in verse 11, there's this, the lords of the Philistines call this big council, and they got to come up with some type of strategy. And it says, so they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the Ark of the God of Israel and let it go to its own people. Get rid of it. Send it back to the Israelites, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. Very heavy. So notice, God can take care of himself. God does not need the United States military. God does not need atomic, hydrogen, and plutonium bombs. God does not need an aircraft carrier. God does not need a fleet of F-16s. All right? God does not need an Abrams tank. God can defend his honor, his name, quite well. But yet, as I close, he's given you and I, his people, the privilege and the opportunity to be part of the battle. Paul says to Timothy, I fought a good fight. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul gives us a suit of armor to wear. Beloved, we are to wage war. Not with clubs and bats and guns and swords. We wage war by proclaiming truth. Even when the world today is going out of its way, as never before, globally, to censor that truth. because truth aggravates. What's going on here? The Ark of the Covenant is aggravating these people to the point they said, get rid of it. And when you preach truth to a pagan, it's going to aggravate and upset them to the point they're going to get rid of you. They'll disassociate themselves from you. They will censor you. They will block you. They will place restrictions on you because they don't like the light that you're shining on their sins. Well, may God choose to bless His word. Amen.